party pants on because this is another episode of This Is Silly with the Lilligans. Mitch, Brad.
Hey.
Matthew Bird.
All right.
Everybody says we're better when the team isn't doing well.
I'm playing under protest tonight.
I'm at my wit's end.
I did not want to do a podcast tonight.
To be fair, you don't want to do it most of the days.
Yeah, this one hurts, though.
This is going to be a rough one, because...
I don't think people realize like how much time we put into St. Lilligan endeavors, whether it... Like, tonight. Tonight's 3 hours out of my night,
mm-hmm.
and we're not getting paid. I don't know if the listeners know this. We're not getting rich doing this. But normally, I love to talk about my team. I don't even mind talking about them after a loss, but... Man, three tough losses in a row, and...
Well, we've won, what, one in seven now?
Eight now?
Yeah.
And that was to a bunch of kids.
Well, and it started, you know, you were talking about we haven't lost in how many games, and you're counting the draws as positives.
Yeah.
Now it's winless streak. You're counting the draws as not wins.
That's true, and maybe that's unfair a little on the players, because I do think that the draw in OC was a good result.
I do, too.
But then it's the last week, man's been brutal.
Well, and we should take this one at a time. Ironically, we put off the pod from Tuesday to here, hoping we'd have a win to talk about.
Well, also, I mean, I couldn't come back from Colorado Springs on a Monday.
Right.
Pod on Tuesday and then go to the game Wednesday. Right. Erica would have snapped my neck. Yeah.
And Erin was coming home on Tuesday from her trip. So two of us were not really in a good position to do it.
But you know what?
But,
let's just knock it all out in one go.
Well, let's go back to after the Louisville game, because at that time, you and I had a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
Not a disagreement, but
yeah.
we had said...
Wait, people can have a difference of opinion?
Yeah, and we're still friends. It's amazing.
Wow.
But you had said, you know, you were disappointed with the team losing to Louisville, mm-hmm. and I get that point because that was a winnable game against Louisville. Like, this was our best shot.
There's multiple facets there. I was disappointed for a couple of reasons. A, I think Louisville were there for the taking. It was a winnable game.
Without a doubt, that was the weakest squad they've put out against us.
I agree. And, you know, and I was also looking at it from another point of view. We've been to Louisville five times now. We've scored one goal. We've been to Cincy three times, and we've been beat every time. And we've been to KC four times, if you include the Open Cup against the Mothership, and we've not won there either. So all these big local-ish games that we've all gone to en masse, we've not won.
And we did take 40 to 50 people to Louisville.
So that's where I was coming from. This is getting old. Yeah. And that's where I was...
My point after that game was they still are the best team in the league, and losing 1-0 wasn't the end of the world.
The goal was world class.
Right.
But that's just how bad they were. It took a worldie to beat us. Yep.
But I was still, after that game, I was still pretty optimistic about where we sat. And then.
But if I'd have gone on my little rant, having gone there, people have been like, oh, Matt, you're just bitter. You took all that time. You took that time to go there and you pissed off. And I think people were expecting a similar rant after Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, because I've gone there and that makes me a martyr, and I'm not a martyr. If at the beginning of the year you look at the schedule and you just pick one long haul away game to go to, you know, it's a lottery. You could win, you could draw, you could get pumped 3-0. We got pumped 3-0, and it wasn't about me. Second of all, when them players came off the field in Colorado, I shook all their hands and said, keep your chin up. I'm not then going to go on social media and destroy them.
Yeah.
You know, I that would be two-faced. I didn't go to Louisville, so for me it was just that I watched the game. You know, and second of all, you guys went to Louisville, you went to watch the game. I went to Colorado, and it was a vacation. You know, there was other stuff I was doing. I primarily went just to spend time with my kid.
Yeah.
You know, and in that respect, the game against a game in Colorado was a success.
Yeah.
But that's the ability to separate the two, and mm-hmm. I think that gets lost in translation a lot of times for a lot of people.
But the game, I picked an away game to go to at random that looked a nice trip. We got rolled. If you count up the trips that we've done to Louisville and Cincinnati and what have you, we're just going You know, that's a trend. That's not random.
You know, probability would state we have to win a few of them.
You know, as I said on Twitter, a blind squirrel's going to find a nut every once in a while, and we're struggling to do that.
Well, and even beforehand on the pod, we were saying we're due. It's probability.
You know, even Sunderland can win an away game once in a while. But
By the way, we're still due.
We're overdue.
Yeah.
And I get that it's probably not fair to put the failings of other teams on the backs of these players.
Right.
But
as fans, it's a franchise.
It's a club.
Club.
You know, and you,
it's not MLS. Sorry.
And the players know what we've been through as fans, and it's got to be on their minds, you know, that these guys over there have suffered, so let's put on a show for them. And I get that maybe the priorities of the club are different from the fans, but I honestly think Louisville were there for the taking. We messed up.
Yeah.
And the thing that I mean, one of the things that frustrated me the most about Louisville, again, they're a good team. They put out a poor squad that we could have competed with, but it just, and I don't know, maybe it was different on the stream, but it just seemed that we weren't our first touch, our first instincts. We kind of regressed, if that makes sense, that we hadn't been that team that we've seen leading up to that game.
No, I think we've been that team all season. We've just not had that final pass. We've just not had that, you know.
See, I felt
first
like,
touch. You know,
I felt before it was we didn't have that third pass that was the golden one. Where this one, I felt like we didn't have the second pass. If that makes sense.
I see what you mean, but we just I'm not going to say that we've regressed. It's just that I expected us, and we've been saying it all day on the Facebook group. You know, we're not gelling. You know, and some people are actually mocking that term.
Yeah,
now.
They are.
But I gave them a month to gel, and we've not finished. I think we're 95% there, but that 5% where we're just not clicking is killing us.
Well, and that's the other thing. We're not a new team still.
No.
They've been together for a couple months now. I do take the criticism or the point that we've got a couple of really big pieces out in the midfield in Tony Walls and Wall Fall. That said, we still need to be able to create something even with those guys out.
I do think we create stuff. I mean,
I was with you up until Colorado, which I know Colorado's weird because of the altitude, and you can tell.
And
20 minutes
six
in.
6 weeks of travel, basically.
And all of that adds up. I get it. Coming back home, I thought they would have been up for the game. And again, Phoenix is a good team. I mean, there's always reasons why. But now we're to the point where fans are bickering amongst themselves. You're either, if you say anything negative, you're not supporting the team. Or if you say anything positive, well, you're being an apologist for the team. I mean, Stewart put out his little rant. You know, he felt bad for still supporting the team. And that's obviously not... He didn't feel bad for still supporting the team. He knew people were going to criticize him for being positive. And I find it real hard. I find it hard to find that balance of how critical should I be? How forgiving should I be? Are my expectations too high? But I really don't think they are. And again, it's not that we lost. It's how we lost. It was a comprehensive ass kicking, and save one shining moment from Seth, who did have an amazing header.
Oh my God!
If you haven't seen it, you owe it to yourself to go check out the highlights.
It really needs to be in the goal of the week.
Yeah,
and there's no question.
It's a beautiful goal, but other than that, there wasn't a lot to cheer about in that game.
And I do get that going back to Colorado, I do think Colorado was a culmination of everything, the travel, the injuries, the suspension to Barden, everything. I mean, you fly from California to Duluth, go to Louisville, back to, you know, back home. You know,
no doubt.
And I do think it was a culmination of that.
I think when they came home is where I expected them.
But it was still such a short turnaround.
It really was. Yeah, you're right.
And I get that Phoenix played Saturday too in KC. But they're not flying from going to Colorado and flying back.
Right.
They played KC, got on a bus and came here. So it's different. They played at home in the Open Cup, flew to KC, got a bus here.
Yeah,
you know, they're not going to Duluth to Louisville to Colorado and back. I mean, it's...
But at the same time, we do have to hold them accountable for your professionals, and you have to show up bigger than you did.
I said that on my little Twitter rant after Louisville. You know, it was on the players. They didn't show up. And I love these guys. I mean, Ewan has fallen in love with the players. Yeah. I mean, he loves this stuff. But that aside, that I don't know what to... I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what it is. The pieces are there, but it's like we're trying to jam jigsaw together rather than putting it together properly. And then it
comes down to the people that say it's the same, and I'm getting blasted because I kept telling people it's different. And, well, okay, maybe it's not different. Maybe it's the same. But I don't understand it because, I mean, everything's changed. And people are going to say, well, the front office hasn't changed. The GM hasn't changed. I get that, but Jeremy has addressed the issues that have come up, and he's not on the field.
We had four strikers. Right. Four. That were all starters at this level.
Right.
They're proven they can be starters.
If you want to
even add Seth into that, you have five guys that have scored on this stage with frequency, and it's not happening.
Yeah.
There's nothing the GM, the president, the owners, the fans can do about that.
No.
And speaking of the owners, we all three sat and talked to Tom for various parts of the game.
It took some balls for him to move down there at halftime, come talk to us as well.
But he was beside himself.
Yeah, he's
too.
Just as upset as we are and doesn't get it. I mean, I don't know, guys.
It's weird because I don't want to say on paper it makes sense. Because on
paper it made sense last year.
Right.
But here's the thing. I agree with you. It's not the same. Because last year, we'd have lost that game to Phoenix 2-0. We'd have been gone 2-0 down and we'd have passed it around the back.
Yeah.
We didn't quit. No. They scored two worldies.
Yeah.
They scored two absolute peaches of gold, and we went up and went for it to get back in the game, and they caught us on the break.
Yeah.
You know, and at least we're still going for it.
There was some criticism of Gomez, and those first two goals.
No worldies.
There's nothing he could do
about
those.
The first one was an absolute peach.
And
even
Mike Watt said it on Twitter today that, you know, it takes something special to make Gomez look like that.
I was stood right behind the ball, and it moved.
Yeah.
It moved. I mean, it went one way and then the other, and Gomez was planted. I mean, he didn't know.
It was funny.
Got turned inside
out. I'm not worried about Gomez for
all
those
people. All the fans were like, he didn't even move. And then you came up about 5 minutes later, and you're like, that ball had so much movement on it. I was like, oh. Okay.
It would have looked worse if he did move.
Yeah. I was right behind my It moved. Yeah. Holy cow. So the end result is the same,
right?
But I think the way we're playing is totally different. And I would rather lose 3-1 going for it and trying to get back in the game than 2-0 passing it around the back like we did last year.
And I will say, and again, it's always weird comparing players from previous teams and stuff, because the players last year, I do think they cared. I do think they wanted to win. But these guys, they have more of a connection with the fans. And I mean, even the guys that weren't playing in that game were apologizing and saying, stick with us, we're going to get there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they haven't retreated into a shell.
No.
They haven't, you know, given up.
I seen Lewis after the Colorado game, and he probably sat in the middle of the field just distraught. He was distraught for a good 10 minutes.
Well, Sean last night.
After Colorado, Sean was furious.
Well, Sean sat on the bench last night for a good 15 minutes after the game.
Somebody said it was more than that. It was like 30
minutes. It could have been, yeah. But, I mean, he was mad.
You know, I mean.
And his mom was in town, so.
Yeah.
So what can I say? What can I go on social media and lambast the team for? They already know.
Right.
They already know.
Right.
And the thing is, I'm not.
And I think that's the other thing that we need to raise, that, you know, some people have criticized, you know, there's a difference between disappointment and not supporting your team. Like, we've all showed some disappointment, but that doesn't mean we're not 100% behind the team.
If Manchester United or Arsenal or Newcastle or whoever went 8 games with only winning one game, there'd be riots.
Yeah.
Let's not kid ourselves. And that's that's where we're at.
Well, United lost, lost two in a row, and people wanted Mourinho on a silver platter.
I'm criticizing the team as I would my team. It doesn't mean that.
There was one kid with a Pulis out sign last night. I thought that was a bit premature.
Whatever.
He had an Orlando shirt on, so I don't know if we trust him.
I am. But you know what? My wife loves me, right? But when she's sick of my shit, I have to sleep on the couch sometimes. Yeah. And there's no difference to that analogy.
This is my 21st wedding anniversary.
Aaron was like, what are you doing here tonight?
Exactly. Well, my wife's working.
Oh, okay.
It's a gift for both of us if we don't have to see each other. I bought her a water heater.
You guys were together at the game last night.
Yeah, she did come to the game
last night. Really, that kind of encircles your entire marriage.
I think she spent more time talking to Gardner's daughter than she did talking to me. But
again, do I blame her?
No. And Jane was there, and a couple of Jane's friends were at the game. It was a family night in the section. I will say, after the third goal, I sat down, which, you know, I rarely sit down in the stands. And Ewan came running up the steps, and he said, "What's wrong, Brad?" And I said, "It's just not a very good game, Ewan." He goes, "Yeah, but the guys are still playing." And he ran back to the front. And I was like, "All right."
Driving back from
that is what it's about, you know.
Driving back from Colorado, Mike said to him, "He said, great trip, by the way.
Yeah,
really top quality trip." And as I say, I spent quality time with Ewan, and Emily spent quality time with her dad, and Mike and Dakota had the thing, and it was a really good trip. But we're driving back, and Mike says to Ewan, "What was your favorite trip? Part of the trip? Bear in mind, we've seen waterfalls and mountains. We've gone out.
You walked through the big rocks.
Ewan just went, the game.
Yeah,
the game. I mean."
He didn't care that they lost 3-0.
No, he got his hugs from Lewis and Albert, and all was well.
Last night, we were kind of looking around for Ewan towards the end of the game, and I looked out. He was at the goal. Him and Albert were having a little kick around.
I was mad because I kept telling Ewan, "Don't run off. Stop running off. Stop running off. And then I turn around. I can't find him. I'm like, "God damn it, kid." And then the next minute, he's doing his Thomas Gomez impression.
Right,
the
right.
Field, I'm like,
"Oh, my God. I was dying earlier. You were looking for him." I'm like, "He went that way."
Yeah.
Back towards the porta potty. You start walking there. All of a sudden, boop, he pops out from under the stand.
He's like a little jackrabbit, isn't he?
Well, he had his St. Louis flag waving it around. And, I mean,
sometimes,
we have to remember that.
And Stuart mentioned that on his rant, that you sometimes have to look at it through a 5-year-old's eyes.
Yeah. Well, I told that to, I think it was either Mandy or Malia today, we were talking about it, and it's like, I get that we're all short-sighted. We all want to win right now. We all, you know, we want to be as good as we can be. But more importantly is, if Ewan is still going to games 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and he's grown up with this team.
Yeah. Or the Gardner kids.
Any of the kids that are come out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that is ultimately the big picture. That's what we want.
But even so, and I said this on one of the first podcasts of the season, we may not make the playoffs. It may go horribly wrong again, blah, blah, blah. We have to start looking long term, you know. I think the Preki appointment was hopefully a short-term fix.
Yeah.
This isn't that. I genuinely feel that with the coach now and the players now. This is a long-term process. This is a big picture process, and we have to bear that in mind. Of course, we want to win now, and everyone does, but there has to be a long-term vision involved here.
Yeah, and I think most of the fans are pretty on board with, no matter what happens, we keep Ant and we go forward, you know, and let him build something. You know, even those of us who think we should be higher in the table or...
Well, I think he would be the first to agree with you there, but that we should be higher in the table.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ant, by the way, you know, we have talked to Jeremy and Tom and Pat and people like that, and Ant is not happy that they've lost these games. You know, he seems very calm and very collected.
He's a professional.
And he's not the kind of guy to let it show. And his comments that he makes after the game are robotic
coach speak,
right? But he's very upset. He is not happy where they are. So, and neither are the players. That's the other thing. I mean, you know, somebody said, because I tweeted out, you know, "You got to be fucking kidding me," when we were down 3-0, and somebody said, you know, "Well, don't you know the players read that and that's going to affect them?" I'm like, "Don't you think the players are more mad than me that they're down 3-0? They know.
Yeah, they're not.
It's not.
You think they're not saying worse out there now when we're down 3-0?
Exactly. So, I mean.
And let's be honest, too. Right now, we're one win out of the out of the playoffs.
Well, Tony Wall said that today. A
couple wins, yeah.
But, you know, where are them freaking wins coming from right now?
Well,
I mean, we've got another game Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been nonstop.
And it's Swope. It's a good team again. You know,
Swope beat Phoenix on Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, of course, Saturday won't be easy. Course, Swope didn't have an Open Cup game to worry about.
Man.
So, I mean, I do think it is a culmination of things right now. I think everything, the travel, the injuries, suspensions.
The bonus of us going out of the cup is we no longer have to worry about that for a while. Yeah. Like, you know, we don't have to have that midweek game messing us up.
And that's the other thing, too. This was a midweek game, too.
Yeah.
I mean, again, not excuses. I'm not close to that.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's a good crowd for a midweek game. I mean,
But, I mean, we've not had a game for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, too, looking at the schedule, now we start getting into that correct rhythm. Yeah. Home away, home away, home away, home away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much that way for quite some time until August, where we have a streak of 3 home games. That's the rhythm that the players need to be in.
Well, and look, we've got Swope Saturday night. It won't be easy, but, you know, they need to get up for it. It's a home game. You need to win. And then we go to Tulsa, which...
Knock on wood, dude.
Yeah, I'm not saying we're any better than Tulsa right now, but that is a winnable game on the road.
Yes.
Unfortunately, so some of you maybe have heard we were talking about taking a bus to Tulsa. We won't be getting a bus to Tulsa. We just don't have enough people that want to ride the bus. There are still several people who are going. Some needed to go and come back that night, and some people are getting a hotel.
I will say, if you're on the fence, go. I can't make it. The wife's working Sunday. But if you're
on the fence... been out of town for half a week.
Yeah. Oh, but if she was working, I'd go.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't... Sean Reynolds messaged me after Colorado, and I said to him, dude, I would do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I would. I would go to Tulsa if she wasn't working.
Yeah.
I love this stuff, but it is a good away trip. Tulsa, it is a good away trip. The good fans down there, they know struggle just as much as we do. And
they did make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but they won
even though they've demanded the head of their coach.
You know, so I mean, but it's a good trip, and I do advise you to go. And again, but you know what? I went to Colorado thinking they're not great shakes. That's a winnable game.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of my issues after Louisville. When was the last time we went to a team that's higher than us in the table and won?
Yeah.
See, you don't even know. That's
gone. Well, the problem is we don't win on the road.
You know, and then,
I mean, really, I mean, road wins are sparse on this team.
And
frantic.
I would have to go back to Sacramento 2 years ago.
Yeah,
yeah, that's probably right.
We beat San Antonio on the road, but it didn't count because we were already out of the playoffs. It was a go out there. You got no pressure on you. The last time we in a meaningful game. That we went on the road and beat a team higher than us was Sacramento, and that's 2 years ago.
And it's weird because logic tells me...
And it was with a borrowed keeper.
Yeah.
And Mike Hambersley scored. That's how long ago it was.
Jesus.
Wow, holy shit. Okay.
When you put it that way, it hurts.
Yeah.
And
the weird thing is that, you know, the old saying is win at home, tie on the road.
Yeah.
That's your, you know... But I'd like to win on the road once.
Again...
No, we need to start winning at home before we start winning on the road.
Again... Colorado, it was just a random game I picked, and we went and we got rolled. But you got a Louisville 5 times, Cincy 3 times, but a KC 4 times, you'd expect a couple of wins.
At least.
That's why I blew up after Louisville, because I felt bad for the 40 or 50 of my friends that went there and are coming away pissed off again.
And you think those 3 teams don't think they're going to win when they come here?
But
that's the other part. You know,
well, and I think, I mean, Ants talked a good game about building the culture, and the guys want to change the culture. But right now we have a culture of losing. It just is what it is.
And
it's not going to change until we start winning.
I mean, and it was funny. I ended up talking to Will Oler's mom a little bit today. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing, you know.
By the way, shout out to Will who came down to the corner and let some chance.
I was going to talk about that in a bit. But, you know, the one thing she said is that, you know, if this team starts winning, it's going to be something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
we've been saying that for 4 years.
Yeah, but that's exactly the point. It's like, you know, we just keep waiting for it.
But here's the thing. If we'd have beat Louisville, James O'Connor would have had him doing hill sprints up hills afterwards. Whereas I think we just, you know, we fed him breakfast, a nice rehab session the next day.
Well, and I don't know. I give different coaches their ability to have different methods and different philosophies if they work. Now, it remains to be seen if Ant can make this work. But I'm not going to, you know, lambaste him because he's not James O'Connor Jr. You know what I mean? Like, some coaches just aren't that type.
But I think you've also seen where that type of coach goes south quickly, that he can lose a locker room as quickly.
Preki?
Yeah. Yeah,
very. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
So I do think that O'Connor is the exception, not the rule, when it comes to hard-ass coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, and we had Sean sit right here say, you know, he gets guys to buy in.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with a hard-ass coach.
But we've also heard Louisville players say he's crazy.
Yeah.
So.
But you know what? They went to Cincinnati and won.
No, I know.
You know, I grant you, they had two home games in a row and then went 100 miles up the road. They've not had the travel that we've had.
And I don't think it's as simple as, hey, Ant, just throw a temper tantrum and everything will be fine.
Well, sometimes the quiet guy is the scariest.
Yeah.
You know?
And honestly, like I said,
we don't
Ant seems very cool and calm, but we know that we've been told he's pissed, but I don't know how that manifests. He may be peeling paint in the locker room at halftime. I don't know.
The way I'm seeing the reaction from the players, they're peeling the paint themselves. They don't know what the deal is. And this time last year, we sat here on a podcast with Jeremy, and you looked him in the eye and said, I don't think your players are giving 100%. Yeah. And Jeremy went berserk.
Yeah.
I can't say that this year.
No.
That's a good point.
I honest to God, I can't say that.
I haven't seen quit.
And that's what, for me, is so frustrating, is that these guys are giving their absolute everything, and it's just been rolled by 6-1 in 2 games. And I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I mean, and even last night, I mean, a couple of guys, they gave it their all. I can't question anybody's
effort.
It just wasn't our night. I mean, and it sucks because it's been 3 nights in a row that it just wasn't our night. But there were bright spots. I mean, Kalisri worked his ass off.
Yes,
he did. Seth came in and was a spark plug.
And that was the best thing, too. You make your return at home. You come in. You score that magnificent goal. I mean,
yeah.
Could not be happier for the dude. And we've said for the past year that dude is the most perfect super sub we've seen on this team in all 4 years. And he proved it. He absolutely lived up to that hype.
I still think we need our forwards to start scoring.
Yeah, the starting guys need it.
And before I was one of those guys that kept saying, oh, they just need time to gel. Oh, they just need to figure each other out. I'm to the point now where I'm worried. We're not producing.
We're missing sitters. That's
yeah. You know, when it goes over the bar, you know.
When a cross comes in and the guy is just a step behind or a step ahead, that's a gel thing.
Yeah.
When the pass,
when they get a hold of it and it isn't on goal.
It's right at the keeper. You got the
right
whole
at
goal
the keeper,
to keep.
Right.
Yeah. It's right, and that's happened a couple of times in the last game. But I just don't know. I'm at my wit's end. I think the pieces are there, but it's just.
And I'm not giving up. I still think. I mean, it's way too early to even.
And that's the other thing too, is that, you know,
but again, it's the trend thing. It's the pattern thing.
Yep.
We got to the cliff last year. We could either turn it back and make it work, or we could fall off the cliff.
Well, and I told Jeremy that, I don't know, 2 or 3 days ago. I just said, you know, we need one win. That's all we need is one win.
Honest to God, I don't think it's that. I think we need one goal.
And then it builds on itself because...
No, we need two goals. Yeah,
as easily as you get into a funk where you lose 2 or 3 games...
You can turn it around
You can turn it in. And then those games that you might draw, you win. You know, so
you make your own luck with a lot of this stuff, and you know,
but momentum is a thing in this league.
Oh, it completely is, and this weekend's it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. But like you said, Tulsa is in theory winnable. Real Monarchs are a good team.
Real Monarchs are a very good team.
You know, they're coming, but you know, and then Sacramento.
Their coach may be arrested, but
yeah. Oh my god!
Whoa!
Sorry.
Wow. But true, though. Yeah. My goodness, what a mess that is.
Yeah. Well, he's technically not their coach anymore, isn't he?
Is he up at the big team now? Or
I thought they let him go.
Or did they let him go? Okay. Well, that might help us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, and that as a sidebar, no chance about that. Uncool.
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there right now.
What bang out about if there's anything to it.
No, he's suspended. He isn't fired. Okay. He's suspended.
Well, you got due process, right? But it doesn't look, it's not a good look, is it?
No, well, not at all.
Apparently the team was paying her off. It wasn't just the coach. The team has been mentioned. And the mothership knows about it. So, I mean, yeah, it's... Now, I'm not... Again, all these are allegations. Yeah. All these are, you know, still to be determined. But, yeah, it doesn't look good.
We're going
to
get a cease and desist letter in the mail.
Yeah. If anybody listened, we'd be in trouble.
But, I mean, just... The faces on the guys last night and up to Colorado, they know. There's nothing we can say that they don't know.
Yeah. And again, they're as mad, as disappointed as we are,
mm-hmm.
And they haven't quit. You know, they're going to keep fighting. So
well, and that's the thing too. Like you said earlier, you saw it on their faces. You saw it after the game. These guys are not done, not by a long shot.
We got a few other news and notes to talk about. I wanted to mention Fire and Ice. They were there at the game last night. Came down to the tailgate for a little bit, and they were signing autographs and.
They actually raised money for our charity du jour, no
they
less.
They chipped into the charity du jour. They definitely did. But they have a bingo night tomorrow night in Columbia, Illinois at the Turner Hall. I think tickets were $20 in advance or $25. We posted something about it on Facebook and Twitter. If you don't have anything to do on a Friday night, go out there. There's going to be some silent auctions and just a good way to support Fire and Ice and their return to... defend their national championship.
Yeah, they you know, and that's the one thing too, is that for those that don't know, that league is on a shoestring budget as a whole, and you know, there's not a lot of money going around there. There's no youth club to support them. There's no anything. So everything is done on the basis of basically these kind of events and sponsors, as many as they can get. But you know, when these kind of things come up, this really helps them for their travel costs. If they do make another, or let me rephrase that, when they make another run for their championship, you know, that travel is expensive to send 20-something girls, you know, across the country. You know, this is a great opportunity for you to get out and help them, you know, especially if, you know, you want to go do something, get a handful of people together and go do something on a Friday night. Go.
Yeah, and by that same token, their season tickets are really reasonable. I they're less than $30. I think
she said it was $20 or $25.
They don't have a lot of home games, but this year we're going to have a bonus with the St. Louis Lions' new WPSL team. There's going to be a couple of derbies, so I think it works out that we can do those because I think they're Wednesday nights.
Yep. I believe so. Yes.
Yep. And the tickets are $5 at Altoff for them, and they sell beer. Since it's a Catholic, it's a Catholic high school. You got to sell alcohol.
And I assume the women's Lions team is playing out at Glavin Complex.
Yep,
and they sell
beer
there, too.
I watched part of that the other day.
They won their first game, right?
Yes, they did. So consider going to one or two Fire and Ice games. They're also going to have a big one on, June 23rd?
That's going to be the huge one. That's the one where they want to try to break the WPSL record for attendance.
And they're having, before the game, I think Ambush is playing a
scrimmage. They're playing Maritza.
That's right.
It's a doubleheader, yeah.
So maybe we'll definitely put out some more information as we get closer to that. Fire and Ice, they deserve your support.
And if you have any girls that are playing soccer, you know, for example, I'll pick on Caden Gottman. Sorry, Drake. messed you up with your sister. But, you know, she's a really good youth goalie. And for her to be able to go see these women compete at a high level and be successful and see what her path is if she continues with this, it's amazing. I mean,
well, and another one, Allie Ryan, she talks about how she saw Lindsay play and was a big inspiration to her. Well, now Lindsay's a coach and Allie Ryan's done some stuff with them. And it sounds cliche, but it does make a difference to have role models that you can identify with. So,
and successful role models, too.
So, yeah. So, I mean, the guys, soccer, I mean, we talked about Ewan all night long. There's 20 guys out there on the pitch that he can see himself one day being. Very important for young women to have that same opportunity. And Lindsay is doing an incredible service for the community by basically funding this team and making it all happen. So,
and there was, she probably had what, a dozen players come out last night with her, walking the parking lot, you know.
Yeah, they were
handing
out
flyers, meeting people, you know. So it is a community thing. That's the one thing that's really, you know, it's not professional. It's really based on the community supporting it. Speaking of community, we'll come back to our buddy Will Oler now, because you mentioned it. He was able to make it out to the game last night. He's known to love the chants and the songs, so we got him to lead a chant.
He was wearing his Luligan jersey.
He was, and I tell you what, the look on his face when he got to lead that chant was amazing. Talked to his mom last night and this morning. His numbers were good yesterday after treatment, so they said, well, let's try to go to the game. And you know, gave him the megaphone, gave him a chance to say thank you to the crowd. He didn't like saying, you know, he wouldn't say it, but his mom told me he kind of choked up a little bit when talking about the generosity. And it's amazing. There were more balls waiting yesterday at the trailer.
Yeah.
From people still bringing them, so I dropped those off today. And holy shit, is that house full of soccer balls. The pictures that I had from the first drop-off, it's considerably more. I'm not kidding when I say it's 4 feet tall in a 18 by 12 room.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no room to walk. There's no room to do anything. They are making deliveries, and they said, you know, these kids' eyes just light up. Will was laughing yesterday. He told me the story of they were making a delivery yesterday during the treatment, and, you know, you want to pick out a ball? And he said, well, I want that one. They're like, well, do you want one of these that's more your size? He goes, no, I'm 5. I want a 5, meaning a size 5
right,
ball.
Right.
He wouldn't have anything to do with it, but they said he grabbed it and he was hugging that ball as he was walking around because it was his ball because he's 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was amazing because you're sitting here saying, oh, that's a cute story. And then you think about it, there's a fucking 5-year-old getting chemo.
Yeah.
And it was like,
and that ball made it tolerable that day.
And they said, you know, when they left, they saw him holding that ball.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you think it doesn't matter, it really does matter. There aren't toys for boys at a lot of these places. And the girls, too. The girls that want a soccer ball, you know, this is something. And she was saying that I believe her sister is getting married in Phoenix in a month or two. And they're arranging to take 100 balls down to the big, there's a children's cancer center down in Phoenix. It's really large.
You're going to have to pay for an extra bag.
I think she said they're shipping them down. Okay, outside. Okay. But yeah, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, you know, they're like, hey, we're going to be there. Let's do this. This has taken off more than they could have ever imagined, and they are so happy.
And it was an amazing night in the corner when people found out, oh, hey, that's Will. I mean, the corner went crazy.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a lot of reasons to cheer last night, but that was definitely one of the biggest ones of the night.
And you know, and then, you know, as they're walking out of the corner to go back to their seats, people are coming up and just saying, hey, I wanted to say, you know, proud of you. You're amazing. Tom was walking by, made sure to stop. I thought Tom was going to start crying and talking to him. He's amazing. The last thing you ever want to see is somebody battling cancer, young or old, but the poise and character in this kid,
he's doing it the right way.
Everybody can learn from him.
He was more poised than I was last night.
Well, that's not saying much. So if you still are doing balls, don't be afraid to bring them. You know, I don't mind doing this.
We know where they live now.
We can
take them.
Yeah, it weighs, all I have to do is put in the first number and it automatically pulls up. So
there you go. Other big stories around the league. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Cincinnati's going to MLS.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I'll miss them.
They got promoted.
You know what?
They made promoted shirts.
I know.
I thought that was a bit cheeky.
That's balls.
Yeah. But anyway, the team didn't. The pride did.
You know when people said they were going to move to England or Canada if Trump got in, and Dave Colbert would go, I'll miss you.
Yeah.
That was me. I'll miss you.
You know, good for Cincinnati. I mean, you know, they did. They've earned it.
Sacramento,
earned it.
Sacramento have earned it.
Sacramento have earned it. I feel bad for Sacramento.
It's enforced scarcity to drive the price up.
I think Sacramento, instead of being the next on the list, I think they've gone third back, and they're the fallback for the next two.
You know what? The thing is, I've always said that I'm not sure they want another team in California. Now, that also said, I didn't think they'd go with Nashville and Cincinnati, which are so close, as the next two.
They don't maybe want another team in California, but they'd put one in San Diego.
Yeah. I agree. I think San Diego. Yeah. They look at markets. You know,
if I had to bet right now, I think the next two are Detroit and Phoenix.
They're the last two standing.
Well,
San Antonio,
but I'm still not convinced Columbus is going to move because Austin isn't playing ball.
The city of Austin
they
is
don't
pretty
need
much,
it.
Yeah,
exactly.
They do not need
but
it.
But they thought it. Precourt thought it was going to be a slam dunk that Austin would build him a stadium.
I'm bringing you the soccer, as
and they've kind of said, not sure.
Yeah, we. Yeah, they don't. They don't. It's not going to make Austin a more vibrant city.
Well, and they're getting a USL team. I think a USL team is perfect for Austin.
And well, yeah. The other thing is too is that there have been a lot of people on Twitter and the like from Austin saying, this is dirty. Yeah. We don't like the idea of a dirty. We don't like taking somebody else's team. We want a team of our own, not somebody else's team.
I don't think the league has any moral high ground to stand on, obviously, but they should force Precourt to sell to a local investor there in Columbus. That's my, again, not my money, easy for me to say, but either that or somebody mentioned, well, maybe Precourt will move his team to Sacramento.
But I mean, you leave in Columbus, which is a big city, but it's predominantly a college town,
right,
to go to Austin, which is a big city, which is predominantly a college town.
Yeah.
I mean, he just seems to me he just wants the shiny and new. He sees what's happened in Cincinnati. He's seen what's happened in Atlanta. He wants the shiny and new. But the problem is Minnesota got the shiny and new, and the novelty's worn off. Houston got the shiny and new. The novelty's worn off. Chicago got the shiny and new. The novelty. What's the and this goes for Cincinnati too. What's the end game now? Now you've got it, are you going to keep going? Because there's nothing left to fight for.
I think.
Wait, we're talking about Pro Rel and nothing to fight for?
But I think Columbus.
I'm not talking about Pro Rel. I'm just saying when the novelty was. There was 10,000 at Atlanta last night.
Not 60?
When the novelty wears off,
yeah.
What's the. And that worried. Because that was worried me about St. Louis. I'll be straight up honest with you. Everyone was like, well, I'm not going to go to St. Louis FCA, but if we get MLS, I'll go to that. Well, you may go three times, and then if we lose three in a row, we're going to keep coming back because you see these empty stadiums. They're nice, beautiful theaters, but they're all half full. Yeah. MLS fudges the numbers. They're all half full. When the novelty wears off, are you still going to go?
I'm with you. I worried about St. Louis in that very respect.
And it's not just a soccer thing. I mean, it's all pro sports. We see it in Miami baseball, and we've seen it with hockey teams. And, mm-hmm. This isn't new. American sports fans are fickle. They want to compete. And if they
don't... St. Louis fans are fickler than most.
Yes, very much so. You're used to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Cardinals have set a gold standard of winning and competing that if you don't live up to that, that's it. That's what you're set up against.
I don't know. In retrospect... Obviously, I wanted our team to get the stadium. I
really wanted the stadium. I did want the stadium because, how good were those U.S. national team games at Busch? They were fantastic, and I wanted more of that. And Cincinnati is going to get those and not us.
Yeah. But I'm not overly disappointed that we're not going to MLS.
I
think I want Louisville's stadium. I want a 10,000-seater. I want it closer to downtown. We know it's always going to be an issue to get real estate and everything downtown, but I think that's ideal.
And I think USL has got ambitions of its own.
Oh, I do too. I'm pretty certain of it at this point.
But good luck to Cincinnati. You got what you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, I don't wish them ill will.
But if they get a US game, it'd probably be a good time.
Yeah, probably.
But it also concerned me with St. Louis. If we got MLS... Once the novelty worn off, because we're flyover country, best will in the world that we're not LA, Cincinnati's not LA, Cincinnati's not New York, they're not Miami, the best they can probably hope to be is Sporting KC, which is they're the gold standard for the flyover country.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you've got more chance of being Chicago, Houston,
Columbus.
And that's the thing about Precourt that I was going to say earlier. He's got a damn good base there in Columbus.
2 years ago, they were in the final.
You could do it. I mean, it's going to take investment, but you could make it big. I just don't get it. I mean, you said it, the shiny and new.
He wants the shiny and new.
I mean, he wanted Columbus to build him a new stadium. I mean, it's not even that old.
But you know what? Pittsburgh is a shithole. But the Steelers win. The Penguins win.
Right.
Yep.
You know, you can do it in unglamorous markets. Because I tell you what, this game that we all love is a working class game.
Yeah.
Okay? There's reasons why London has only had one Champions League winner.
Yeah.
Berlin's never. Rome's never, I don't think. You know, there's only Madrid that's really a sexy city that's won it. But Liverpool, Manchester, Turin, Marseille, Munich, they're all working class towns. And Columbus is a working class town.
I agree.
No, and, it's a great point. It's actually a really good point.
And it's a working class game. And that's, I think that there's something about that. It works in Green Bay too.
Mm-hmm. All right. The only thing I have left is a couple of rants to get to. We will talk about, let's talk about Saturday. Saturday we've got Swope Park. The tailgate crew's doing hot dogs and hamburgers, I think.
Hot dogs and chili dogs.
Oh, hot dogs and chili dogs. We're going to do, our charity du jour is for the Trevor Project. June is Gay Pride Month. And so Trevor Project's up first for charity du jour. We will have a special rainbow Luligan pin.
It looks awesome.
They look really good, man.
They're kind of
really
cool.
Do.
And you can get those for any donation to the Trevor Project on Saturday. And we're going to have fun. I mean, you know, that's the other thing people were talking about. You know, we're still going to go. I mean, we're still the diehard supporters. We're still there every game. The tailgate is always a good time. The corner is always a good time. We just want to make it that much better with a win.
And I think that's also why I was so pissed off after Louisville. Because no matter what, you guys all went. You still hung out with your friends. You still had a couple of beers. I was on my own at home feeding two crying kids.
It's a different experience, isn't it?
I was furious. Whereas, you know, you're like, yeah, right. We lost, but I still had fun with my friends, you know. Right. And it's different. So, yeah.
And that's the one thing Brad and I were talking about this earlier, is that, you know, win or lose, I'm still having fun with my friends. That's the main reason for going, is that you're with 500 or, well, 300.
I didn't want to come tonight, people. But there's nothing that would keep me away from Saturday night. You know what I mean?
I think this is still cathartic, though. What we do is very cathartic.
Oh, that's what I told him. He's, you know, I don't want to go. And I'm like, well, you know what? This is therapy.
It's easy for you. Me and Matt have to drive an hour to get here.
Fuck you. I had to carry 15 paving stones in and out of my car.
I'm actually glad to get away from screamers.
That's a good point. With it.
And honestly, Rebecca wants you out of the house.
I know.
So
I
got to help your family out.
I got Netflix shows to watch, dude.
Dude.
Club de Cuervos is coming back.
Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
You haven't gotten into that Spanish soccer soap opera.
No. There's one on Amazon Prime right now called Red Bridge Rovers or something like that.
Oh, I have to check it out.
It's garbage.
Yes.
Right up your street.
Yes. Thank you.
It's about this amateur team in England. You don't really see the team, but it's based on their little social club.
Yes.
And it's the worst comedy.
Yes.
It's garbage.
Oh, cannot wait.
It's garbage.
Okay, I know what
Check
I'm watching.
Out. I'm going to be up all night watching.
Oh, it's trash.
As soon as I'm done watching Arrested Development.
If there's one thing I love more than watching my local soccer team, it's trash TV.
Oh, it's garbage.
And if it can be a soccer-themed trash TV, so much the better.
But hold on. Cuervos is better because it has the beautiful Mexican women, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
There's none of that in Red Bridge Rovers.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a feeling that's not the case in this.
Montreal Thunder?
I didn't watch that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nothing will beat The Matador.
The Matador. El Matador. I also have a penchant for a supernatural teen melodrama. So, anyway.
You really are a 15-year-old emo girl.
Kind of.
I mean, how does your daughter not hang out with you all the time?
All right. I want to read some rants. I put it out there that we were doing a podcast, and I'm just opening it up to rants at this point because there's no questions we can answer, really. First one is from Tim Reeder. It seemed like at the start of the year we were playing a lot more 3-5 with three at the back, and now it's more of a four. So is that because of injuries and has the change affected our results? Yes. Tony Walls being out, he was that kind of
linchpin between the defense,
deep line midfielder,
yeah, holding
that, mid. that kind of protected them back there a little bit so they could do the three. And we talked to Ant when he was on the podcast about being able to change, and he wanted a couple different things that he could throw out there. So I think, yeah, that probably has affected his game plan, not being able to do the three in the back as easily.
I also think it depends whether Aiden's available or if he's off to college or the US or whatever. If college, if he's Aiden's turned into a quite a competent little left back and level. I mean, the USL is all about the youth and promoting the youth, but they don't give Aiden as half the amount of love that he should get.
Oh yeah, Aiden should be a star for the USL.
I think we're more apt to play four at the back when he's available.
Tim also said the most important question, what's up with Seth Rudolph's new number?
What was it, 94?
94, yes. I said that he's the first St. Louis FC player to play with three different numbers.
This is true.
So keep that in mind for a future trivia question. And then Tim's other rant was, what does Seth have to do? At St. Louis, he's averaging a goal every 120 minutes. It's only slightly behind the Golden Boot winner, blah, 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 blah. I said, what do you mean? What more does he have to do? And he's talking about getting a start. Seth said to a couple of people last night, he's not match fit enough to start, which is understandable. He's only just now rejoined the team. He's in shape, but as Matt mentioned, that's a little different than match fit. But I imagine if Seth keeps playing like he does, he'll make a case to start a game.
Vince Cicerelli had a better goals per minute ratio. I'm just saying. Whatever, you know, I mean.
But the thing is, he is.
Seth's a proven commodity at this level.
I mean, I say it tongue in cheek.
Yeah. I still think Seth's ideal position is as that super sub. But again, if he scores, then Ant will look at him, I think.
Well, and with the other guys struggling,
right.
You have no choice. You have to keep
But I also think, I do think Seth was brought in to play a little wide right, to play instead of, Austin's on rehab. But when Austin comes back, Seth can play up top if he's scoring. How about it?
Speaking of Austin, happy birthday, even though you're on a competing podcast.
That's right.
Happy birthday to Austin Martz.
This one's from Mark Gardner.
This will be good. Mark Gardner.
You're electric. I was waiting for the plug.
I was, but I was laughing because I can only imagine that Mark's going to rant here.
No.
Don't let that stop you from calling You're Electric for all your home and commercial needs.
No, he just says, last night was garbage. It's the first time I left early. I will say he had his young daughter with him, and she needed to get home and get to bed. But he said, I promise for this Saturday, he's going to work his butt off at the tailgate to get the dogs cooked and the beer cold so the St. Louligans can party. And then Aaron Medneck followed that up with, we never lose a tailgate.
You know what? I will stand behind that fact 100%.
It is true. And Aaron also wanted to mention that we will be once again selling $5 empty cups for the Trevor Project. And
They're collectible.
Got to get them all.
I know.
The club put out also talking about, you know, Pride Night and all that stuff. The club put out today a little teaser for a new strip. And badge looks superb, doesn't it?
Yes, the Mission Taco one especially.
Well, we assume it's the Mission Taco one. We don't know yet.
Oh, I thought we saw that today.
Club badge.
I mean, it looks a tease for it.
Well, it was on black, though.
Right.
That was the thing.
But the club badge is rainbow. We don't know if it's going to be Mission Taco or if it'll be something special.
But it was on a black shirt is what I'm saying.
It
so
looks exactly
we know
like
that's
the Mission Taco kit.
It looks sharp either way.
I know. They're going to go fast when they're for sale.
Yeah, I think I'll have to buy one of those rainbow-themed jerseys. Dan Baba Yaga, Dan Doak, he wanted to say, I was debating if I am still entertained when I go to St. Louis FC games, and four things came to mind. Beautiful park with sunsets, and the weather was nice last night. The other teams are fun to watch. They're good. Seth, and Sean Reynolds, and for the people. Yeah, there's four good reasons to go watch soccer.
I will say, if that game was against anybody but us last night,
it would have been fun to watch.
It would have been a great game to watch.
People still go watch Sunderland.
That's right.
They've been relegated twice.
You've said it before. You know,
I like
most
that you say Sunderland instead of Newcastle, because you can say the same thing.
But most of the world goes to watch bad soccer.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know. That is what it is.
There's 19 teams in the EPL that didn't win this year.
Hey,
the EPL was atrocious this year.
But imagine we were in the EPL. When you start every season knowing there is no way you can win.
Well, we kind of have that with Cincinnati and Louisville, and you know, the,
but we could get,
but
everything could click, and we could make the playoffs, and we could win.
Yep, yep.
I mean, if you're in the EPL, and if you're not
Chelsea Manchester, United City,
you know, not even Arsenal anymore.
It's basically those
Liverpool, three. Tottenham. I mean, you're not. I mean, Leicester City was the one exception.
They were a massive outlier. I grant you, but that system gives teams something to strive for. You know, it gives you something to strive for. They're always striving for excellence. But I mean,
but those teams are playing for Europa and they're playing for champions. Yeah. You know, that's basically what they're playing for. If you're not one of those top three teams,
the EPL was trash this year. I mean, my
point is, a lot of guys know going into the season, the best we can hope for is mid table.
Well, it must be awful when you're cashing 50 grand a week checks, though.
I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the fans.
As a Newcastle fan.
Well, here's the thing.
No, I know that Newcastle will never, ever compete with the top three unless we get a Arab or Russian tycoon. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So
Shahir Abramovich isn't going to build his stadium?
No,
for Chelsea because he got
denied a visa.
He got denied a visa.
I did hear he got denied, but I didn't hear about the stadium.
You're gonna play that way? I won't put a $100 million stadium in downtown London.
Wow,
London's full of stadiums. They don't need another one anyway.
I know.
But you know what? You piss Putin off, and he'll pull some strings, and you're now living in Israel.
Or if you make him happy, he'll make you president of the United States. Aaron Mednick wanted to say the game was garbage. Team must have followed the silly tailgate lead and took the night off. Highlight of the night was seeing Will out there and having him lead some chants. True.
I you see, and Stuart Holgren mentioned this. He actually said they didn't play that bad.
No, I mean,
we went down to an absolute cracker of a goal. We started pushing, and then they sucker punched us right after halftime with a free kick. We went hunting to get back in the game. You know.
Yeah.
The problem is that with us struggling to score, it's an issue. If we had no trouble scoring, we could go back and get those two goals back and be fine. But when you're always pushing forward, trying to get back in the game and you can't find a way, you're always going to get sucker punched. I think everything up until the final pass or the final shot, we're actually doing all right.
No, I tend to agree. There's an occasional bad moment that tends to bite us in the ass.
I mean, I know we've conceded six in the last two games, but I don't think the defense is that bad.
Most of the time, it's a turnover in front of them. I think the midfield is where we're really suffering
now. But if you're pushing forward trying to get back in a game, you're pushing forward, you're going to leave yourself open at the back, and it makes the defense look worse than they are.
Oh, there was about 30 minutes in the second half last night where I saw Tomas almost to the circle.
I mean, it's frustrating, and we're all frustrated, but I don't think it's the doom and gloom. We're not quite there yet. And that goes back to what Brad's saying. It's not the same as last year, and I happen to agree with him, even though the results don't reflect the work that's being put in.
Michael Decker said, the players need to take responsibility for this slump. The coach and GM are not on the damn pitch. The players need to be up their game and get after it. I saw too much hesitation, and what really irritated me about last night is we had a good crowd for a Wednesday, and we dropped the ball.
Yeah, I do think this. He's got a point there about the hesitation. We're looking to pass it maybe instead of shooting it, or you know, the kind of second guessing them, maybe afraid of making an error. I will never be pissed off when someone takes a shot, even if it's from outside the box. You know, just have a go, because you saw last night that Cortez did. Look what happened.
Just gotta strike it right once,
and God knows Herzog's trying.
Yeah,
I mean he's.
Yeah, there's people down on Herzog. I'm not down on Herzog just yet. I mean, I granted he's struggling.
You can see he's angrier than everybody else that he's struggling.
Yeah,
when he put one over the crossbar in the second half, watching him literally almost pulling his hair out.
Yeah, and again, I see when it goes. Then he'll knock down a bunch of them.
I do feel that. I think it's NASCAR. Once the pace car's out of the way, we'll see the everything start flying. I hope. I hope. I mean, I have no basis of saying that, but I just hope.
Our buddy Harry down in San Antonio, he said it's crazy how much San Antonio and St. Louis FC's seasons have mirrored each other. Both good defenses, underperforming offense, and gets killed on one mistake they make at the start of the second half. It's true. We've given up a lot of goals early in the half that
put us behind the eight ball.
Yeah. Jake with a J. I know Kavita isn't technically a right back, but I was really noticing last night that we do not go forward on the right side at all. Last night really sucked, don't get me wrong, but noticing that left me wondering how much of the offensive issues tie in directly with injuries. They do, without a doubt. I don't think we can use that as an excuse, but...
That's Mars. That's his... up and down right, that right, right flank, that's Mars.
I see us doing a lot of long balls trying to break the defense instead of hitting that center mid that can splay out passes.
And I think that's wall fall.
I do, too. I think that's one of the things that when he was in, we had talked about how everybody underrated him.
Quietly, just and now, dishing that ball out.
And now that he's been out, I think you're seeing that at least for once we were kind of accurate.
Well, I tweeted that in the Colorado game. Herzog was making the runs. We just couldn't find him. Yeah. He was doing the work. We just couldn't get it to him.
JD24 said, this team couldn't finish a Happy Meal right now. You know, I will give you that point. And I think that's all the rants we had tonight. I don't know. Again, call me Pollyanna. I don't think it's over. I think we're fine. I am severely disappointed and frustrated that we've dropped three in a row, but two in a pretty bad fashion. But as Tony Wall said, two games and we're right back in it.
It is. And when you look at the congestion around the 7 to 13 or so spots in the standings, you know, we get two wins and we can start breaking away a little bit here.
Yeah, we got two losses, though, and we start falling behind.
That's the other problem.
I mean, we're at the precipice. We are at the precipice, and it's on the players. And someone said it's not Pat Barry, it's not Jerry Mellenbaugh, it's not Pulis. They don't go on the field. The players have to figure this out.
There were times last year where you could say, okay, the system wasn't working.
Well, we would just pass it back around ourselves. Yeah.
And this year, we've seen all year the push.
We are going forward, and I do salute the system.
Yeah.
And I do think, the supporters' issues, they're going to come up when you're in the midst of getting beat.
Yep.
They're going to come up the day after a loss.
Everybody's frustrated and lashing out.
It usually takes a day or two to get back on the wagon, and Saturday we're all going to be there, we're all going to be having fun, and we're going to be hoping for the best.
That's the nice thing. I mean, we're recording this on a Thursday. Yeah. Tomorrow's Friday, then it's game day.
But for those that are like, you know, either mad that we're not mad enough or mad that we're too mad, I just think that's the nature of, A, social media, but B, passionate fans are going to be passionate when we win, and we're going to be passionate when we lose.
But the thing is, the people that are mad that we're not mad enough,
yeah,
they won't say it on social media. They'll keep it to that Facebook group, which is private, and then expect us to say what they think we should say.
Yeah,
you know, they'll give the players high fives, and then expect us to throw them under the bus on the podcast. And I had my little Twitter rant on against Louisville, but it's nothing I wouldn't say to them to the face.
Well, and you said to me today, didn't they listen to the podcast at all last year? I mean, we were pretty fucking negative, but always with the intent to support the team. I mean, Jeremy said it when we first met him back at ITAP at the beginning of all of this, Mitch, and we said, you know, hey, we're passionate fans. We're not just going to be a weekly advertisement for you guys. He goes, no. We want to be taken seriously as a football club, and that includes being criticized seriously when we don't do the job. That's what fans do. I mean,
and the thing is that it's, I don't want to call it, it comes in waves. It's tides. You know, not everybody is going to be up all the time. We saw Louisville lose a couple games in a row, and the sky was falling because they didn't know how to lose.
Well, Matt and I were disagreeing about how to take it after our loss to Louisville. Again, it doesn't mean we hate each other. It doesn't mean we were even mad at each other.
In fact, that commonality.
Two people can have differing points of view.
And that's the thing, too. At the end of the day, we all want the same thing.
Yeah.
We may differ on how to get there. We may differ on our interpretations of what has happened. But come the next game, if we're all standing in the same corner, in theory, trying to get these guys to win. Right. So, you know, if you're doing your part, if you're there cheering and getting involved and not sitting on your hands, then kudos. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Oh, that reminded me of something. The team would like us not to stand down by the boards in front, like by the scoreboard and all the way around into the aisle in front of our section. They really need everybody up in the stands, especially where they moved the advertising boards back.
Well, don't tell us to tell them. Get
security is
we told the team, yes, you need to have security do it, but just as a PSA, we're saying please get up into the stands back away.
Security might have to have a word with Ewan about that because he is the world's worst.
That's yeah. right.
But I mean, and I get it because what was it last night? And I'm almost positive I can tell you right now who complained to the team about it.
That. Parents that were...
It was this woman that I was down there, you know, I was patting Oliver on the back for keeping at it, because yeah. it's... And that's the other thing, too. It's hard being a capo and a drummer on these games. You know, yeah. they're... I want to make sure that everybody, you know, appreciates, you know, if you're up in the stands and your arms are crossed and you're on your phone and you're miserable...
You're talking about me.
Yeah, I am. but those 7-8 people are busting their ass every game, working hard.
Again, they're working 3 hours. They don't get to watch the game, and they're not getting paid.
Yeah, yeah, a free beer for those that are legal age.
They've offered to do this, and we need them, and we need your help.
And if you want to get down there with them, if you want to help out, go talk to somebody because they can use the help. You know, we've lost Costin to L.A., and Liz is on hiatus. Get in there. Help them out. But, you know... But that's the other thing is, you know, when I'm down there and, you know, I'm talking to Oliver and saying, hey, keep it up, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And there comes a family who can't get through because there's 3 or 4 people standing in the aisle. And this mom gave me the dirtiest of dirty looks. She had a, you know, let me speak to your manager haircut.
Yep.
And
that's the one.
Yeah. It's like, I know she's the one that called the office today saying we couldn't get through.
Yeah.
You know, and. So that's what we got to do. And to be fair, it's probably...
We should be in the stands anyway. Let's not kid ourselves.
It looks better on TV when the stands are full.
And it's probably a fire hazard, too. We don't want to, you know... Oh, damn it. I just totally stepped on my own joke. I was going to make a joke about that rock band where the fire happened and people couldn't get out.
White Snake?
No, it wasn't White Snake. It was somebody like that, though.
Fucking Rat?
No. Great White.
Great White. I knew it was a white...
White Snake. Yeah, that's why it messed with me. But, yeah, I mean, it, you know, if there's a Great White concert and the field sets on fire, people have to leave. So, get out.
All right. Do we have anything else?
No. I am not going to make it a Great White song as the outro. So, don't think that you caught that. And
thank you.
There's no way I'm putting a Great White song as our outro song. But.
All right. Bird, you got anything else?
Love this team.
Bringing you in with you Saturday.
But sometimes they have to sleep on the sofa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ewan loves it, man. They're his idols. They are his idols. And sometimes you have to look at this through 5-year-old eyes. But I've created a monster with this team. He loves this shit.
Dude, I love it because, I mean, obviously the Premier League season's over now. But when we would be at tailgates the last couple times, he's telling me scores of the games that happened in the morning. And, like, I'm getting all caught up because
Newcastle lost 2-1 to Tottenham today. And
thanks, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He loves it.
Oh, he got mad at me when we were going somewhere. We went somewhere, and he was watching the game.
He was mad you went in Colorado, by the way.
He was mad.
Oh, yeah. He was mad you went in
but
Colorado.
But he was watching the game on...
Kansas City.
Yeah, he was watching the game on your phone.
Yes, that he took away from me so he could watch the game.
And he said, oh, hey, Brad, Man United's winning. And I said, I don't care. I don't like Man United. He goes, you don't? Like, he was very confused that, you know, we weren't all Man United fans in the back of that car.
Just the way it is. I remember Jeremy told him once he supported Liverpool and Ewan, like, just turned his back to him. He's like, I'm done.
It's the shunning of a 5-year-old.
But, I mean, he's like DJ on Roseanne, though. I mean, you've also watched him grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really. So, I mean...
Well, we were laughing about it. It's like
I hope his show doesn't get canceled.
I remember him coming to the Amsterdam for games with him in the pumpkin seat, being about the age of your twins.
Well, yeah, and at the Piasol, marching him around in that little stroller, you know, kind of looking over the glass.
Yeah, and you know, and here he is. He's waving a flag last night. Mitch, look, I have a flag. You know, so it's like, hey.
You know.
He's just one of the lads.
And he doesn't, he's not, it's nice because he's not been jaded by it all yet.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't care. He really, wins and losses, he'll go home and say, Mama, we lost 3-1. Yeah, we lose it. And, but he goes, he loves it. Yeah. He loves it. Good. And I know some of the players are coming off absolutely furious. And he's there wanting to hug with them, and it's the last thing they want to do is hug a kid, but it makes his day.
Yeah, that really struck me last night. I mean, literally, they're professionals who've had a shit day at work. Mm-hmm. and you know, when I have a shit day at work, I don't want to, you know...
interact with people.
Right, but...
He wants to go home and watch bad TV.
I want
Netflix.
To go home and watch bad teenage soap operas. But, you know, Albert grabs him, pulls him over the boards, and they're having a little kick around. I mean... That's huge.
Yeah, and as I say, in Colorado, Lewis was distraught, but Ewan grabbed him and gave him a hug. And I know Lewis just wanted to go home. He wanted to get in that trailer, get dressed and go home, but it does mean the world to me to see it. And
but you know what? I think Lewis probably did sit there and say, you know what? It's going to be okay. Cause
you know what? The Registers had a thing with Irvin. Their kids had a thing with Irvin, and Gottman's with Dixon and probably now Sean.
You're just angling. You want that for your family.
I'm seeing Ewan have a relationship with players that he loves, and it's kind of heartwarming. I'm digging that because it's the first time I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. And this year he's grown up a lot, and it, you know, he's watching the game. He's not just at the game; he's watching the game.
And when I'm with Ewan watching the games, I'm kind of looking out for him, making sure he's all right. And
no, you know, you're not. You can't.
I was
you
running
can't.
Behind the porta potties looking for him last night.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He's.
But I also know there's 300 people got their eye on him.
Yeah, it's a village. He's got a motor. You got.
But the Louisville game, I watched it on my own, and that's why I was furious because I was all game.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. All we can do is keep showing up and keep supporting our team, and that's exactly what we're going to do on Saturday.
We will, and don't forget charity du jour: hot dog, chili dog, beers.
Rainbow pins.
Rainbow pins.
And I fucking win against them twice.
That would be so nice.
See ya. Meet you.